certainly do appreciate each and every one. Saw Brother Jeffrey's mother here, glad to have her. Others visiting, my mother-in-law is here today, so I'm glad to have her as well. And I know we've got a lot on vacation and different things, spring break this week, and the kids won't be able to be in school. So, sorry about that. If you believe that, I've got land in Brooklyn, I'll sell you too. Acts the 5th chapter. The last couple of days I've been over at the Allentown camp meeting. They had a wonderful camp meeting and was privileged to be there and enjoyed my time there. And while I was there, you'll know that on Sunday nights we've been preaching through the book of Acts. And we've been looking at different stories and just kind of unfolding the story of Acts. Sunday night, tonight, I was going to preach this, but I just felt to preach it this morning. And only God really knows why, but I just felt to shift gears this morning. And it's a familiar story to us. But I can honestly say I've heard it referenced, but I cannot think of one time in my entire life I've heard the text taken and someone's preached a story on Ananias and Sapphira. I've referenced it, I've talked about it, thousands of other preachers have. And at first glance, it seems like a very simple story about a couple that gets greedy with their money and they get judged of the Lord. And we preach it as the love of money is the root of all evil. That's probably the oversimplification of the story. And if the Lord will help us, I want to go a little bit deeper this morning about this story. You remember last Sunday night, we talked about Barnabas. It was not a tremendous message, but he was a tremendous man. Barnabas was a wonderful man. So we finished the end of the 4th chapter. And the Bible says in verse 37 concerning Barnabas that he has land, that he sells it, he brings the money, and he lays it at the apostles' feet. And so you, in your mind this morning, how would we imagine? I know Brother Polk would get happy this morning if somebody came in and said, I just sold some commercial real estate over here on Highway 17, and I thought the church could just use the money and brought it and laid it down at the altar this morning. I think I could get a glory to God or an amen at least a couple of times right over there. Can you imagine how exciting that must have been when Barnabas come in and he laid that offering down at the apostles' feet and he just gave it wholeheartedly to the Lord? We really don't know much about Barnabas at that time. Now, last Sunday night, we talked about how great God was going to use him in the book of Acts. But at that moment, he just brings the money and he lays it at the apostles' feet. Well, there is a married couple in the congregation. And when Barnabas does that, man, all of a sudden they say, hey, that's the thing we need to do. So over on this side of the altar, now here comes Ananias and Sapphira. And they say, we're going to give an offering to the Lord. But this story turns out completely different. Acts chapter number 5, verse number 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. Now, that's not wrong. That's not sinful. They don't have to sell this land. They don't have to do what they're doing right now. They keep back part of the price. But notice this next phrase. His wife also being privy to it. Now we sound like we got a scandal going on all of a sudden. Now we sound like we've changed tone in Scripture. And brought a certain part. There was a maximum that they were going to give God. No more. A certain part. There's a lot of people that will only give God to a certain point. Not just talking about money, but about anything. Your heart, your time, talent, ability, wisdom, advice, benefit, anything. There was a certain part. They said, we're not going any farther than this point right here. God can't have any more of my life than this right here. He can't have it all. I'm going to give him up to this point, but nothing more. A certain part. And laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Isn't that where trouble starts? Long before we see it manifested, it starts in the heart. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done. Now let me just, this is something I come across here. Well, they had church a long time back then. They carry this guy out, they bury him, they come back. It's 3 hours later, they're still having church. Kind of like Friday morning at Allentown. It's after 2 o'clock. Not knowing what was done, she came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. I want to talk to you this morning about guarding God's glory. You can be seated. Guarding God's glory. This is one of those Bible stories that when you read them and somebody starts to preach on it, you don't feel like there's enough oxygen in the sanctuary. It's just like everybody gets real tense, real nervous, because, I mean, there's not much shouting in this story, is there not? I mean, it's not a story that just wants to make you run around the church and hoop and holler and glory to God. And I'm thinking, if God would have judged everyone as severely as Ananias and Sapphira, would I be here this morning to preach this message? Would there be anybody in the pews to preach to? But if there's anything we know about God, his church is in its infancy at this point. And I really feel the reason that God dealt so hard with Ananias and Sapphira is that you remember when the children of Israel marched into Jericho, God gave specific instructions. As they went into Canaan land, it was a new thing. And when God did a new thing, many times he protected it unbelievably strong. The judgment was much more severe. The judgment was different at the beginning, it seems like. And here the church is in its infancy. For the last 3 chapters, the glory of God has been poured out. Revival has broken out in the city of Jerusalem. Thousands and thousands of people are getting saved. Men and women and children are now residing in Jerusalem instead of going back home. They came just for the feast, but now they've become part of this Pentecostal explosion. And they just say, we want to stay in Jerusalem, and we just want to learn some more about what's going on. And so people start selling lands. They start letting people live with them. And Barnabas gives money and provides food and does all kinds of things. And in the midst of all of this, the glory of God is going to have to be protected. And Ananias and Sapphira come up with a scheme to where it looks like they're going to maximize their influence with men and have the glory of God as well. And God said, I will not have it. My glory is going to be protected. I'm going to go to eternal lengths and sovereign strengths to protect the glory of the Lord. It's a serious thing. You remember when the temple was built, Nadab and Abihu, what did they do? They wanted to offer up strange fire to God, and God judged them. God wanted to protect his church. He wanted to show that his church was going to be a pure church. And so he's going to judge Ananias and Sapphira. But some things about this story that are amazing to me. And number one, that Satan is always more successful working inside the church than he is outside the church. In the fourth chapter, Satan works outside the church. He causes men to be upset and get mad at the disciples, and they began to persecute the church. But that did not stop the church. Matter of fact, the church blazed through the persecution from without. Can I tell you, Satan will never conquer the church of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ is established by the sovereignty of God. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Satan will never conquer the church. There's going to be a number in heaven that no man can number. But he cannot conquer it. But what will he try to do? He'll try to corrupt it, just like Balaam in the Old Testament. Conquering the church. If somebody come up this morning outside the church and told us we could not have church, or we could not pray, or we got word that Congress was passing legislation you couldn't have church on Sunday mornings, the people of God would get stirred up. We'd say we're not going to take that. Amen. We'd rise up, a revolution would start. But because everything seems so easy, sometimes corruption finds its way into the house of God. Satan is always more powerful or successful inside. If he can get inside the church. It's amazing that this family unites together. Sapphira goes along with Ananias' plan, and this family unites together in a scheme. And a scandal. It's bad enough that Ananias comes along with the idea, but the Sapphira is willing to go along with it. But can I tell you this? I believe Ananias and Sapphira were saved. You've got some eternal security friends that have problems with this passage of Scripture. Because when they're unfolding their story, the Bible says they lie to the Holy Ghost. They have a relationship with the Spirit of God. And so they're saved people. They're born again people. If you're going to shout, this is the next 30 seconds you need to shout this morning. They're part of the church of Jesus Christ. But we cannot believe in unconditional eternal security that just because we prayed one time at an altar and become part of the church, that regardless of anything we do for the rest of our lives, we're going to meet the Lord and be right with God. Friend, I don't believe any of that. Amen. The same thing that got them into the church is the same thing that will keep them in the church, and that is purity before God. You've got to have a pure heart to be right with God. You got to come clean with God, and at salvation God cleans us up. He purifies us and makes us holy. But friend, if impurity comes into our life and uncleanness, it will separate us from the blessings of God. It'll separate us from living for God, and ultimately it will separate us from the city of God, for the Bible said that no sin will enter that city. I want to be right with God. I want my heart pure with God. Amen. I want to be pure in heart. And the Bible said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh God, help us to be pure in heart. But let me preach to you first about their spiritual pretense this morning. That Ananias and where the distinction of being the first hypocrites of the church. Jesus talked about hypocrites, and the Bible has always shown that if you have more than just a few people, probably you're going to have hypocrites. So Ananias are going to act like something they are not. Here they come bringing this offering, and they're simply acting like something they are not. My personal opinion is, Ananias, yeah, they had a love of money, but I think it goes far deeper than that. I think they fell in love with the limelight that Barnabas witnessed. I think the Holy Ghost in his sovereign wisdom put the story of Barnabas and Ananias and Sapphira back to back to show us that Barnabas was pure in heart, that he gave it unto the Lord, that he gave sacrificially, that he gave just out of the abundance of his heart, and his heart was clean. The Bible doesn't tell us the amount that Ananias and Sapphira gave. They might have even gave more than Barnabas. We're not told that. But the point of the story is this, that God never wanted anybody in his church to act more spiritual than they really are. To never act like something they are not. To act like something that I'm really not is to be a hypocrite. And so God judges them, and they wear that ignominious distinction. They are the first hypocrites of the church. My question for you this morning, which one would you rather be like, Barnabas or Ananias and Sapphira? There's a lot of people that fall in love with the limelight and act like something they are not. It's possible to learn how to have church. It's possible to learn how to go through the motion. It's possible. Children do it all the time, do they not? They learn how to play church. But the story is told in the fact that Ananias and Sapphira drew a line in the sand and said, "This is the certain part that we're going to give God and nothing more. That we're not going past this line right here." I watched a lot of people do that. "We're going to give God Sunday morning worship, and that is it. We're not going to give him any more of our time." We've had dead services on Sunday morning, and they don't come back Sunday night. We've had the glory of God fall on Sunday morning, and they don't come back Sunday night. So it's not based on what is going on or what is not going on. They have drew a line and said, "We're not going to give God any more than that." There was a guy in my home church growing up that irritated the people that knew it. He wanted to act like he was paying his tithes. You know what he'd do? He'd put a dollar in the tithe envelope. I wouldn't want to preach his funeral, would you? I don't care how high you shout. I don't care how you act and what you act like, but what is really in your heart is going to come out over time. Give somebody enough time. I told you this is one of those stories. I mean, it gets tight while you're reading the passage of Scripture. You don't have to wait for it to get tight while you preach. It's tight while you're reading the passage of Scripture. Let me ask you this morning, have you drawn a line in the sand and said, "I'm not going to get any more spiritual than this"? I've watched wives draw a line in the sand that say, "I don't want my husband to be any more spiritual than this. We want to go to that church. We want to fellowship with that church. We like the people down there, but I don't really want him to get red hot for God, because if so, he's going to come back. He's going to start cleaning out the house. He's going to start having this, and he's going to take stuff to the dumpster. He's going to make us go on Wednesday night. We're going to have to go every night to revival. We're not going to go to the lake on Sunday anymore." I mean, he's going going to act, you know what I'm tight. You know why it's tight this morning. Amen. Because we draw a line in the sand and say, I'll shout over here and I'll give God and I'll act like I'm doing so much. But the Holy Ghost said, hey, you're lying to me. Amen. You got to rip up that line. I don't want part. I don't want a little. I want it all. Amen. I want to be the Lord of everything. I want to be the Lord of your home, the Lord of your heart, the Lord of your marriage. I want to be the Lord of your entertainment. I want to be the Lord of your wallet. I want to be the Lord of your worship. I want to be the Lord of your thinking. I want to be the Lord of every area of your life. But they just said, oh, we'd like to get that glory. That's really what they wanted. They wanted a pat on the back. They wanted to be promoted. They wanted to say things about us like you're saying about Barnabas. Those of you that are sleeping missed the mess up of the day. Let us have that glory. But God's going to judge them. Because his glory is going to be a protected position. His glory is going to be a place of preeminence, a place of separation, a place of loneliness and isolation. Amen. When somebody starts singing and they get anointed singing, somebody that maybe hasn't been there before said, oh, I it's fine to have role models, but it's wrong to get the spirit that says, I can sing better than them. I can do better than that. Just give me a chance. I know I can out-sing them. It's fine to perfect your talent and try to study and be a better teacher. But if you sit back and say, I know I can teach better than that. I know I'm more qualified than that. Hey, friend, you got that same spirit. Amen. Oh, God, don't let us act like something that we are not. Amen. I really feel like the church of the living God, it ought to be a place where we can be open. Amen. None of us have made it yet. All of us have issues that we're working on. There's not an angel in this room, friend. Amen. Everybody in this place is still breathing oxygen. Amen. We're still susceptible to sin and temptation. Amen. We're still walking with shoe leather. We're still not shouting on streets of gold. And we're one bad day from collapsing in ruin into sin and temptation. I'm not above it. I've not passed it over. And no matter how fast and you pray, you got to keep the flesh under subjection on a daily basis. And I tell you, friend, if you just go through the motion and you just play church and you act like something you're not, after a while, amen, it's going to surface. It's going to show forth. It's going to come out. Amen. God, make me pure. Amen. God, bathe us today in the purity of his love. Make us holy like Jesus. Amen. When I bring an offering to God, I'm giving him everything. Amen. I'm giving him to please him, and let God get the glory. Let God get the glory. That's why the holiness movement will never have our churches like we should be unless we quit worrying about who gets the glory. Who gets the credit? We'd rather have 8 churches of 25 than 1 church of 200 because we just can't learn to get along. You know it's the truth. We'd rather divide and splinter and split and this and that because somebody falls in love with the limelight. Oh, that my name can be on the door. That somebody can pat me on the back and somebody can call me pastor or somebody can call me teacher or I can get to be a deacon or I can get to be a teacher or I get to sing the solo. I'm telling you, if God would break us down this morning to where absolutely nobody in this place cares anything about personal glory, but just the glory of God, get ready, friend. I'm telling you, great things could happen. There's spiritual pretense. Thankfully, there is a preacher that has a spiritual perception, though. They're lying to the Holy Ghost. I really don't believe they were robbing God of money as much as they were robbing God of his glory. And so Peter says, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be flat out honest to you. I know God doesn't judge us as severely as he does this story. He's not judged my life as severe. There have been people that lied to me. There have been people I preached to that I knew if God would have judged them as severely as this story, they'd be gone. But delayed judgment does not mean it's not going to be judged ultimately. And I'm not trying to scare you into doing something that you don't. But here's the thing, friend. They didn't have to do anything they were doing. They didn't have to go sell that land. They didn't have to bring the money. They didn't have to. It was voluntarily. But they said, oh, this is a way to promote ourselves. This is a way to exalt ourselves. This is a way that get the attention on ourselves and everybody can see us. Oh, that spirit, isn't it nauseating in the sight of God? That spirit of self-exaltation. That's why Jesus said concerning John the Baptist that he is the greatest born among women. What did John say? That I may decrease, that he may increase. Next Sunday morning when some folks that come in just for Easter or Christmas or family members come in, my prayer, oh God, my prayer, let them see Jesus. Let them see the Son of God. Let them see how much Jesus loves them. If they look too close at the church, the preacher, they're going to find fault. They're going to find mistakes. And they'll not be satisfied. But oh God, if they can see Jesus, the one who bled and died on Calvary, the one who gave his life, the one who was buried in a borrowed tomb, but rose victorious with death, hell, and the grave. If they can see Jesus, the one who has all power in heaven and in earth, if they can see the coming King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, friend, I believe you can look with your microscope, but you'll say he's altogether lovely. There are no mistakes in the Son of God if they can see Jesus. Isn't that your prayer next Sunday? I'd love for somebody to see Jesus. Oh God, don't let it be a talent contest. Don't let it be a preaching contest. Don't let it be a talent show. Let them see Jesus. I've been in church services where there was great singing and people said, man, that's wonderful singing, that's wonderful singing, and they didn't say anything about Jesus. Sing all you want, but if they don't talk about Jesus, you've ministered in vain. I've been in camp meetings where they preached and preached and preached and preached, and they talked about the preacher when it was over. If they're not talking about Jesus, when you close your Bible and go sit down, you've preached in vain. Because Paul, the wise, Paul, the learned, said that I have to hide. I've got to hide in the excellency. I've got to hide behind the cross. I've got to hide and show forth his power in demonstration. Not in the excellency of man's wisdom. So Peter said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. I'm sure Peter had this scripture in mind when he picked up later on in his ministry and wrote and said that judgment must begin at the house of God. When he witnessed young men carry out Ananias. And in the same church service, 3 hours later, those same men carry out Ananias. We can't act like something we're not. And as holiness people as people that believe in the doctrine of holiness. It cannot be something that we hide behind. It gives us no excuse to ignore other areas of our life. Just because we might be separated in dress and separated in places maybe that we do or do not go, it gives us no right to have a thought process that is not brought into captivity of Jesus. It gives us no right to have a tongue that can say anything that it desires to say. The same Spirit of God that brings our dress into alliance with His Word is the same Spirit that should make me holy in spirit, in soul, and in body. It's the same Spirit that, yes, makes me the salt of the earth as well as a city that is set on a hill, that it makes me pure in my mind and pure in my speech and pure in my worship and pure in my walk with God. That, oh God, the same Lord that convicted us of alcohol and spirit, alcohol and cigarettes, is the same Spirit of God that convicts us to speak ill of our brother or sister. The same Holy Ghost that causes us to be faithful to our families and pledge our love till death do we part is the same Spirit of God that causes me to be pure when I bring an offering of praise to Him. That it's not out of a feigned heart. That it is not out of a double standard. That I'm not honoring Him with my lips, but my heart is far from Him. You see, you must understand, Ananias was lying to God. He was talking to Peter, but he was lying to the Holy Ghost. When you stand before God, it's you and God. I believe it also shows us now the relationship of the early church, that we're to be led by the Spirit of God. They were lying to the Holy Ghost. To lie to somebody, you've got to have a conversation. You've got to have a point of conception. So they're lying to the Holy Ghost. They're not talking. It shows us the relationship. You see, you and I are led by the Spirit of God now. That's why it's important for you to pray through to the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is going to direct your life. So you're not lying about them, or you're not coming up with a scheme about them or doing this. You're lying to the Holy Ghost that's inside of us. Let's give God the best offering. Let's give God a complete offering. Let's give God a total offering. For the Bible says there's also a spiritual purging. That day, as the sun sets and you and I walk out to the graveyard, and side by side are two freshly dug graves, Ananias and Sapphira, who 24 hours ago were preparing to bring an offering into the house of God. Watch them as they walk down to the altar. Watch them as they bring the money and lay it at the apostles' feet. Friend, judgment will come upon sin. You might get by a church service. You might get by 2 or 3 years. You might get by and leave this world and nobody know that you was the biggest hypocrite that ever breathed. But you'll not get by the judgment of God. I've been fooled. Grandpa used to say bamboozled. I've been bamboozled before. Completely unaware. See it coming? Absolutely not. You sense anything? Absolutely not. You didn't see or experience? No. I'm not going to be some Johnny come lately and say, well, you know, God really been dealing with me. And well, sometimes yes, and then other times I didn't expect a thing. I remember a phone call one time that if you would have told me who it was and what happened, I would have probably near about picked anybody else in this church. But you don't know what's in the heart. You don't know what's in the heart. And here they come. But God said, I'm going to have a pure church. How many would like to have that kind of church? I believe the last few months God has given us His glory. And on this Sunday morning, if you're really thankful for the way that God has allowed us to experience His glory, here's what I felt led to ask you to do. That line in the sand that you've drawn that said, I'm not giving Him any more than this. I'm not going past this line. I'm comfortable where I'm at. I'm not giving Him any more. This is it. This is it. Evangelists try to pull you across that line. I've tried to preach you across that line. But that line is drawn. And you're only going to give God a certain part. I'm going to tell you that if you don't pick up that line, God's going to judge it eventually. It may not be in this world, it may be in the world to come. God's going to judge that line. Because when we bring an offering to God, we've got to give it completely. We've got to give it wholeheartedly. We've got to give it honestly. So, Brother Mark, would you come? Sister Shannon, would you come as well? Get ready to sing the song, I'll Go Down Seven Times. Would you stand with me this morning? Guarding. Guarding God's glory. God said, I'm not going to share my glory. I'm not going to be, allow my church to be a place. Catch this. I'm not going to allow my church to be a place where people act like they are not and still have my glory. My church is not going to be a place where you can shout and run and have my glory and then lie to me at the same time. Did you get that? That's why some people that want God's glory in their life and for whatever reason they're losing God's glory, and God's glory doesn't fall in their life, they've got to go back and check. Because the Bible said that He desires to give it. He wants to bless us. So there's a disconnect somewhere. There's somewhere that we've got to go back and say, God, have I drawn a line in the sand? Am I acting like something I am not? Am I lying to You, God? Am I really as spiritual as I'm acting like? So this morning, I'd like for the Holy Ghost to search our lives and look into our lives as she begins to sing this song that is so fitting of the Spirit of God this morning. Listen to the words, would you?
There's no use trying to hide it from Your eyes. There's no need in wearing a disguise. I know You see in
hallelujah,
me
hallelujah.
A lot of Pharisee, but now I'm trying to be as honest as I can. And I'll go down seven times, a tree I'll even climb.
Whatever it takes, Lord.
I'll even tear
Lord, I just want Your glory.
Off, Lord, just
Lord, I want Your power and I want Your presence in my life. Oh God, whatever You speak to me
at
to do, Lord,
Calvary,
I'll do it, Lord, abundantly, wholeheartedly.
And declare so openly,
let it be so here this morning,
this time,
God.
Lord, I'll serve You.
Hallelujah.
Honestly.
Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God.
I've always lived a life with just pretend.
Listen.
A plastic heart inside with no peace within. But now I step out from the dark. Dear Lord, I open up my heart.
Would you do it this morning?
Revealing all my secrets.
Oh,
hidden
God.
Sins.
Hallelujah. While they're singing it this morning, you say, that's me. I'd like to open up my heart to God. I want God.
A tree I'll even climb.
How many be honest with God this morning? You say, Brother Austin, I want to come to that altar. Amen. I feel like I just really need to do business with God this morning. While they're singing this song, this altar is open if you feel like you have a need of praying this morning. Can you sing it honestly? Can you sing it honestly? Can you sing it honestly?
Lord, I'll go down seven times.
Lord, I don't want to act like anything that I am not.
I'll
Glory.